everybody. Listen to the Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. Listen in and find ways you can take action in our current society. Hey everybody, listen to the Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. We talk about ways you can take action right now. So listen in to the Weekly Review every Friday from noon to 2 p.m.
with us. We know you could've stayed home, just cried and cussed. May all your guns go off if it's time to bust. May all their tanks have time to rust. They got the armies turning bullets into gold. They got the hookers turning tricks into cold. And every time the police kicks in the dough, an angel gas breaks, dips in the O. And even if a D-boy flips in my O, it ain't enough to buy shit anymore. Sleep in the doorway, piss on the floor. Look in the sky, wait for missiles to show. It's finna blow, cause they got the TV, we got the truth. They own the judges and we got the proof. We got hella people, they got helicopters. They got the bombs and we got the, we got the,
we got the guillotine. We got the guillotine, you better run.
Tell the boss to call police to escort them. You don't ride out them lies, you just quote them. Get offline, plug into this modem. No, you can't outvote them, the rules are still golden. Only jewels we holding, if we guard our scrotum. If you press the ear to the turf that is stolen, you can hear the sound of limitations exploding. Please, sir, may we have another portion with children of the beast that dodge the abortion. Neck plate firm, tune the floor in the portion. We'll shut your shit down, don't call it extortion. Caution, we're coming for your head. So call the feds and get files and shred. Every textbook read said bring you the bread. But guess what, we got you instead.
We got the guillotine. We got the guillotine, you better run. We got the guillotine. We got the guillotine, you better run.
Hello. Hi there. Sounds from the Street is back. We took like a 2-week vacation, I think.
No, it's just a week.
We weren't here last week.
Testing. Yeah.
I haven't been here.
We weren't here last week. We were here the week before.
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago. But we're back.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. We missed one show.
I've been very ill, but now I'm slowly coming back to health.
Yeah.
Which is always
a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go see Dale Earnhardt Jr. later tonight.
We are. This is our second time, I guess.
We saw them last year?
April. But you did an interview. So you've seen them a couple times, but I mean not performing.
I've only seen them that one time that we went. But I did an interview with them in 2011.
Yeah.
When I think they maybe weren't as popular back then.
Yeah.
But they were kind of up and coming, and they still work with the same PR company that talks to me from time to time. So she was like, hey.
They channel you.
Yeah. I just remember they were really nice guys, and, you know, they were influenced by the Beach Boys, and I guess I can kind of see that, like their harmonies and stuff like that, but they have this energy on stage that I thought was kind of different,
yeah,
like from a lot of the bands that we went to see, so I kind of appreciate that about them, that they really,
they put in effort.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. you also see that in, like, the outfits they wear, because they wear, like, that, you
matching
know,
suits.
They're really interesting floral, like,
very bright
wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It catches your eye, and it's mostly, you know, it's people in our age group that are kind of, you know, into that. So I thought that was cool too.
Well, it's also just good showmanship. I feel like it's like a show to check out. And then if you are in the Fillmore area, I'm pretty sure tickets are still on sale. So if you want to check them out, they will be. It's actually doors open right now, so
It's pretty affordable too. It's $20 the last time I checked, which is really not that much.
Pocket change.
People are, you know, Crystal and I were working the door at a club downtown last night, and people were turning away for $8 downtown, which is kind of unheard of. You know, it's actually a really good deal. And I didn't tell you, one of the guys he was actually going to see a movie with his girlfriend, but he decided to go to the show there that night. He was telling me at the bar, and he's like, I'm just, you know, we were going to go see a movie at the Metreon, but we decided to go here instead, and we've already been here an hour, and they were really enjoying themselves, and they were really happy that they decided to see bands play instead of going to see a movie.
Yeah, it's a dying art apparently.
Yeah. So, and they were all local acts, and all the bands pretty much got paid. I mean, most of them got paid, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it pays off just by having people there listening to your stuff, I'm assuming, you know, that's the main, to get it out there, especially 50 Mason Social Club. It's such a great venue, you know.
Yeah, it's a little hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But the venue itself is pretty spacious, miraculously. And then apparently they had a boxing club downstairs, and they're going to be converting that into something. So, that'll be...
No wonder. Every time we opened that door, it smelled so bad. I was like...
It was wet. That's why. There were, like, leaks down
there. Yeah. Wow. Wow. So... That's what, you know.
That's what you were smelling.
That's worth checking out, though, I must say, besides the smell.
But the Fillmore is pretty exciting as well. It has so much history, and so many great bands have played there.
It's so accessible, too. You can get there.
It's very central. It's kind of close to BART, I think, Civic Center.
Yeah.
Ish.
I would just take a bus there, you know. A lot of buses go through there.
People, I know that. One of our friends, Johnny, when he comes out, I'm sure he figures out the way to get there. He's really savvy about that. He's like, I can do this or that. And, there's no excuse. Even when I lived in Ingleside near SF State, I remember going to see a show at the Fillmore, taking the 28, I think, to the 38 or something like that.
Yeah.
I used to take like 2 buses, which is probably why I didn't go out as much back then. But when I did, it was like a special treat. I've seen The Hives. I saw Jet at the Fillmore. Yeah. I saw Lily Allen there, actually, when she first, like, probably when she first came out. Mm-hmm. She was drinking on stage. She's a big girl. No, I thought it was cool because I was like, she's the same age as me, and she's doing, like, Jaeger shots on stage.
How old were you?
Like 21, 22.
That's interesting. I mean, she's been on the road, you know, I'm assuming that's just something you do.
She's seen it all.
Yep.
Well, if you guys are in the area, come on down to 2781 21st Street on the corner of 21st and Florida in the Mission District of San Francisco. We have a lovely art gallery going on. Leo was nice enough to put this on for us, so come on and check it out. It's always a special treat here. And there's also printmaking going on outside, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, come check it out.
Check it out, people.
What have we got? What do you got?
I don't got nothing because my phone is a piece of shit.
All right. Out of the NME, I have some news for you guys. This is Spotify reveals its most streamed songs from movie soundtracks ahead of Oscars. Ed Sheeran. I'm just going to say Sheeran. Pharrell and the Great Gatsby soundtrack prove popular on music service. Spotify has revealed the most popular songs for movie soundtracks over the past 12 months on its music streaming service ahead of the weekend's Academy Awards, which is tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
By the way. The Oscars will take place in Los Angeles on Sunday, March 2nd at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood and will be presented by Ellen DeGeneres with Arcade Fire, Pharrell, and Karen Knoll, all in the running for the Best Original Song Award. However, only Pharrell's Happy from Despicable Me 2 features on Spotify's most popular list, with Ed Sheeran's I See Fire as heard on The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smug.
Smug?
I think it's Smaug.
How do you spell it?
The Little Hobbit.
Oh.
Proving most popular.
That's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Further down the list are appearances from Frank Ocean and Meaty 3 and 2 Chainz and Wiz Khalifa track We Own It from their latest movie in the Fast and the Furious franchise. The Great Gatsby soundtrack has also proved a hit with listeners for the past year, with Lana Del Rey's Young and Beautiful and JC and Kanye West's No Church in the Wild appearing in the top 10. Top 10 most streamed songs from movies in the past 12 months include Ed Sheeran, I See Fire from The Hobbit, Pharrell Williams' Happy from Despicable Me 2.
That's been everywhere.
Oh, yeah?
That song, yeah. It's in a lot of commercials.
I don't even know what it sounds like. Yeah. 2 Chainz, Wiz Khalifa, We Own It.
Are you happy?
You're going to sing it for us.
Yeah.
M83, Midnight City from Warm Bodies, Lana Del Rey, Young and Beautiful from The Great Gatsby, JC and Kanye West, No Church in the Wild by The Great Gatsby, Kanye West, Stronger from The Hangover Part 3, Frank Ocean, Super Rich Kids.
He's old school. He's from like the 80s, I think, right?
Frank Ocean?
Yeah.
I have no idea who these people are. The Bling Ring. Idina Menzel from Let It Go from Frozen. Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel for The First Time in Forever from Frozen. And that was the top 10 most listened to songs. And I actually do believe those Frozen ones, because I know I've heard a bunch of people just jamming out to those two songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really popular movie. So,
are you happy? It's okay. It's more, I remember him doing more hip hop stuff, like, you know, 5 to 6 years ago, and now he's doing more, I guess it's still hip hop, but it's more like
mainstream contemporary,
yeah, you know.
I also have Liam Gallagher tells fans not to buy Definitely Maybe reissue.
Why not?
Oh, let's find out. It's so interesting. former Oasis singer also commented on the split from manager, company, and brother Noel. Oh, they're splitting again for the 100th time.
Uh-huh.
Liam Gallagher has argued Oasis fans not to buy the forthcoming reissue of the band's debut album, Definitely Maybe. Writing on Twitter on Friday, quoting, how can you remaster something that's already been mastered? Don't buy into it.
He's got
Let it
there.
Be. LGX. X means kiss, right?
What?
You British people like to put X at the end of everything.
Uh-huh. I love you too, honey.
It was announced on Wednesday, February 26th, that the album would be reissued to mark the 20th anniversary. Wow, 20 years. In May, and will include rare and unreleased recordings. The reissue is the first in the new Chasing the Sun series from the Big Brother recordings, with Oasis follow-up albums What's the Story, Morning Glory, and Be Here Now to be reissued later in the year. Gallagher also used his Twitter to address the issue regarding he and the rest of BDI parting company with his management company Quest and manager Scott Roger, and took the time to have a dig at older brother Noel, who prior to joining Oasis was a roadie with Inspirational Carpets. Wait. Let's read that again. And took the time to have a dig at older brother Noel, who prior to joining Oasis was a roadie with Inspirational Carpets. No, Inspiro Carpets.
Yeah, there you go. I've heard of them.
You just messed me up.
They're from Manchester. I did not.
But he was a roadie.
Who?
I'm just finding this out. Noel.
He was influenced by the Stone Roses. I was going to say he was a roadie for them, but I don't think he was.
Liam was quoted as saying, "It'll be me, as in LG, that throws in the towel, not some roadie from the 80s. X."
Hugs and kisses, babe.
Oh, that's a dig to his brother. So, in a statement given to NME regarding the split, Roger, who also represents Arcade Fire and Paul McCartney, said, "BDI are one of the last great British rock bands. Has been a pleasure to have worked with them on this album campaign. They are in complete control of their future as a band, with many exciting new projects on the horizon. We just about reached the end of the BE album cycle, and it's the right time for the band to make a change. Our paths will cross again in the future, I'm sure. I wish them continued success in everything they do," end quote. The 20th anniversary edition of Definitely Maybe will be available as a standard CD and digital download on the original album, a 3-disc special edition version including the rare recordings and demos of a 12-inch vinyl LP featuring all the bonus CD content as free download, and a deluxe box set which features the LP and the CDs. It has also been revealed that the band will reissue their single Supersonic as a 12-inch vinyl to coincide with the year's recording store day on April 19th. That's a pretty popular recording store day.
Yeah.
Or record store day.
They were very big. I remember when I was in elementary school.
You just get, like, you know, free stuff.
Well, you... Free stuff?
For record store day?
In elementary school?
No, just record store day in general.
Oh, yeah. Now you get, like, stickers and CDs and stuff
and
like that.
And free records. For a special report on Definitely Maybe reissue and behind-the-scenes account of the making of the album, pick up the new issue of NME, which is on newsstands from today, February 26th, which is an old story. And
the
it's
NME.
Also available digitally, so check that out if you are down with
the
BE.
I could probably get...
BDI.
I don't know why the app isn't working on my phone. Maybe I'll reinstall it or something. Because I used to, read the actual magazine.
Yeah.
So I like to, that's how I get my music news. And you like Pitchfork, right? Pitchfork is pretty good, too.
Yeah, Pitchfork. But I rather just kind of, like, pick out stories from, like, the Facebook page more than the actual website.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's good, a good place to get your news. But I do have Lily Allen if you want to hear. Liliana,
who is she pissing off now?
Everybody pisses this person off, to be fair. Lily Allen is concerned Kanye West will call her out over Jesus, which is her album.
And his album was called
Response to
Jesus, right?
Yeah. Singer named album as a homage to rapper, but is now worried that he'll see it as a diss. Lily Allen's worried Kanye West will call her out in the title of her forthcoming album, Jesus. The singer, who won Best Solo Artist at last week's NME Awards with Austin, Texas, named her third album as a homage to the rapper who released his album, Jesus, last year. However, in an interview with Australian radio station Nova, she admitted she's been terrified he'll think it's a diss rather than a tribute. Quoting, it's totally not a diss. I love Kanye. I think he's brilliant. She also praised him for speaking his mind all the time. Quoting, whether what he's saying is ridiculous or not. When collecting her award for Best Solo Artist last week, Allen said, This is kind of dumb because David Bowie is the same category in Jake Bug, so this goes to the you guys, not me. She was later seen leaving the awards after show party at London Club Sketch, having broken the middle finger of her award.
How do you do that?
Alan released two singles last year, a cover of Kanye's Somewhere Only We Know, or Keen, sorry, which feature on a TV advert, and Hard Out Here. Isn't that one song?
One of her songs is featured on a commercial for LG appliances.
I think it's Hard Out Here. No, she. I remember reading that story. She recently followed it up with Air Balloon, but still hasn't announced when her third album.
I listened to it recently. Yeah, that was the last time she was here.
Yeah, it's not me, it's you.
But her sound has definitely changed a lot since then. It's much more
electronic,
kind of a, you know, pop sound.
Yeah, because whenever you say you were into her, I was like, really? Because I only know her really, you know, what you would consider pop.
But her first two albums were pretty good. I mean, I guess I want to give her a chance and see what the new album's going to sound like. And yeah, she's done covers of like Britney Spears and
I don't know much about her. I just know that she had a battle with cancer. Was that her?
She what?
She had a battle with cancer.
I don't think she had. She had some kind of disease.
Right.
Like she was, you know, she's a mom of two, I think. Mm-hmm. And she was having trouble with that. So.
Oh, okay. Something like that. I remember reading about her in that sense.
She was miscarrying or something like that. She wasn't able to keep.
And she was like that kind of put her out of the music scene for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same thing with one of her contemporaries, Lady Sovereign, has also been out of the music scene. And I was a really big fan of hers when she came out. Her mother passed of cancer. Maybe that's who you were thinking of. Her mother passed away.
Okay.
And she kind of, you know, lost it. And I went to see her perform, and she would come out, start the song, perform it, and she couldn't perform. But I had seen her play before in LA, and she played a really great show, so it was kind of sad.
Yeah,
but we want both of them to come back.
Yes,
make a comeback.
Yes, definitely.
So we're looking forward to that. And there's a lot of, you know, new albums coming out this year. The Buzzcocks are going to be releasing a new album. Mm-hmm. And you can support them through a website called pledgemusic.com.
The Cure.
The Cure. They have a new album coming out.
They're working on new material, so check them out.
Bands are turning to stuff like Pledge Music, and I'm sure there's other websites, Kickstarter, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, where you fund their new album beforehand, and then they use the resources to record.
And you get some pretty cool prices, I must say.
Yeah.
I think that you get
a lot. T-shirts.
Signed materials,
records, mm-hmm. depending on what people ask for.
That's a really cool way to get in touch, you know, with, like, have a really personal connection with who you're trying to support.
The fans.
Yeah.
It's all about the fans, right?
It's all about us.
Well, anyways, if you are tuning in to Mutiny Radio, hopefully you haven't been to our primary website location. MutinyRadio.org is no longer in use, unfortunately. Hopefully the new domain will be up and running pretty soon, MutinyRadio.fm. In the meantime, you can go to PCRCollective.org mm-hmm. to hear any of our older podcasts.
Or just Facebook.
Facebook is good for Mutiny Radio and also for our show. Sounds from the Street. I finally was doing some updating.
Yeah, I love
it. The other day.
We need to get on that.
Yeah, and I've been trying to, you know, any new friends that I add, I try to, you know, add them on. And
a lot of Italians.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know. I've seen a bunch of people, and they sound very Italian. It's Vicente, something, something.
What's wrong with being an Italian?
Nothing. I'm just saying. We're getting... I don't know if you invited people to like us in Italy or something.
Maybe. Maybe it was one of my friend Yara. She liked our page a long time ago, I think. Yeah. She's really cool. I know that... I don't know if she listens to the show. I know she's tried to listen to it, but depending on how fast your computer is, and I know mine is not very fast.
How fast is Wi-Fi in Italy? Let us know if you know.
She's told me many times, it's a shit.
Yeah. It's a shit.
But she does her best, and I know that we have listeners all over the world, so it's pretty incredible. You know, having the internet and the possibilities with it are endless. And the fact that it hasn't even been around that long, but just the fact that we can, you know, reach anyone at any time, it's pretty...
It's almost like a human right. Mm-hmm. Almost as like having water. I mean, it hasn't gotten to that, but people treat it as it has, you know.
Yes, we are mini gods. We're demigods.
Demigods. I'll see you now.
We All are right. idols. If you're tuning in to our show now, we have two interviews that we're going to air for you tonight. One is
Super
with
excited.
A band called the Casket Girls. Mm-hmm. They're from Savannah, Georgia, and they're going to be playing at the, not the Brick and Mortar, now I'm confusing them, Bottom of the Hill, which is a pretty cool venue. The only catch with Bottom of the Hill is you really have to plan your night. You either, if you're in San Francisco, ideally you're already in San Francisco. You have to take a cab or bus it, like probably two buses, depending on which direction you're coming from. That was the only hindrance with going there, but it's kind of actually a cool little venue, kind of like a lot of places that we've been.
Well,
like,
I heard that if you have a car, there's parking, so that's good news for you guys to drive.
It's on the other side of Potrero and Bryant. It's on other side over there, so that's why it's more residential over there. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice little venue, and they're going to be playing there on March 4th, which I believe is Tuesday night. So you want to go check them out. And then the lovely Richie Ramone, I spoke to him for a very short amount of time. He was very nice to catch up with me, and he's going to be playing in Lincoln, Nebraska tonight, or he's probably playing right now. And he said it was very cold. It was almost below freezing, and he couldn't smoke his damn cigarette in the hotel room. Poor guy.
I guess it would be offensive to recommend for him to get a vapor pen or something.
That's what I should get him, huh? An e-cig.
Yeah. He would like throw it at your face, I'm sure.
He's
too old school for that shit.
He'd break it over his knee.
Yeah.
Like,
don't ever come here again.
Don't ever.
Well, he's one of the Ramones, or he was one of the members of the Ramones.
He's the original drummer.
He joined after Tommy and Marky were actually two of the original drummers. He was the third one in the 80s. He was there for, I believe, three of the Ramones albums in the 80s.
And he wrote a lot of the songs, right?
He wrote some of their songs. And people, particularly in South America and Latin American countries, love the Ramones and love Depeche Mode. And they go apeshit when he plays shows there, and people love taking pictures with him.
I mean, I love seeing Marky Ramone.
People were going crazy, right?
He wasn't even the front man, you know,
people loved it. It was like his whole energy was the same thing. And I totally...
He was doing his thing, too.
And I totally understood. I was like, what is Andrew WK going to do with these songs? And now I could totally understand why he chose him.
Yep.
It was a good choice. But anyways, we're going to play those interviews for you. And if you want to give us a call, 415-550-0511. Again, Richie Ramone is going to be playing mostly his solo material, but he's also going to be playing Ramone songs at the Brick and Mortar Music Hall on a week from tomorrow, so March 9th. He's going to be at the Brick and Mortar Music Hall, and he said he's really excited to be in the Bay Area and be playing in San Francisco, so definitely go check him out and stay tuned for more Mutiny Radio.
Brian, are you still with me?
I am.
Awesome. Yeah, I was a little worried there for just a second. And then I heard the beep, and then you know everything's good after that. So how's the weather down in Florida? I've never been there before, but my coworker actually just went to Miami, and she wants to live there.
Can't wait to get over there. It's kind of a dismal place to live, quite honestly, unless you think it's a brilliant place to live. But it's beautiful as far as temperature goes.
Uh-huh.
Not visually beautiful, though.
Right, it's kind of the ideal, what do you call it, temperature, I guess is what you were saying, or ideal climate. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, although I can't even fathom living this far south during the summer. That would be a nightmare, I think.
Uh-huh. So you tell me that you're based out of, or the band is based in Savannah, Georgia. What is it like?
Yeah.
What is it like in Savannah for somebody who's never been there? I've never been there, so I'm ignorant, and I'm
to be told. Have you ever heard of Savannah? Because a lot of people haven't even heard of it.
No, I have heard of Georgia, and I've heard of Athens, Georgia, in particular, because that's where REM is from, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Savannah's cool. It's a weird little fucked up town, maybe about 150,000 to 200,000 people, big art college, ton of talented kids, bunch of stubborn old people, and a lot of racial tension, which is clearly not a selling point, but it's just something I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Huh.
And I don't know, it's fascinating. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to, and and the people that I've met there are insanely supportive, and I don't know, it's very good community. That's I moved down there from Chicago a couple of years ago, and I had to get out of Chicago because there was no sense of community as far as the music scene goes.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you got burned out or something like that?
Well, I just had such high hopes for my life, and I wasn't getting anywhere in Chicago. And that simple move down south pretty much resolved all of that, which I didn't change. I mean, I've grown as a person, but I didn't change the things that I was doing. So leads me to believe that Chicago was very stunting. Just everyone is so obsessed with themselves that no one communicates properly. And
that sounds like San Francisco to me, where I am. So maybe it's just a Western, I don't know, Western society.
I think it's a big city thing.
Yeah, big city thing.
Because I've heard the same thing about, I've never lived in New York City, but I've heard it's actually getting better in New York, but for a while it was real bad. Everyone's pretty arrogant, and their shit don't stink, that sort of thing.
Right, somebody was reading an article to me about the snobbiest people in the country, and I guess San Francisco is number one, apparently.
Huh.
So I got to rub that in, you know.
Can I tell you a story about San Francisco?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick, but the long version is funnier. I was there in May on tour with this other band I play in, which is called Black Moth Super Rainbow, and I can't remember where we played, but we were there for a couple days. I don't remember why. I guess we had several days off, and the band, a couple members of the band and I wanted to get some healthy food, and the only thing we could find in the neighborhood we were staying in was a Whole Foods, so we were making that walk. And on this is what I know about San Francisco, by the way. That's why I'm telling you the story. On the way to the Whole Foods, we're passing by this bus stop, and there's a garbage can that's overflowing with spaghetti. Like tons and tons and tons of spaghetti and meatballs.
Wow.
And I just took mental note of it, right? So on the way back from Whole Foods, after we went there and we're walking back, we were coming back the exact same way. And as we're approaching that garbage can, you know, I thought to myself, oh, we're approaching the spaghetti garbage can. And I thought my eyes were deceiving me because I saw this Asian man on his hands and knees crawling towards the garbage can, and he had a fork, and he was eating the spaghetti and meatballs.
Wow.
And so I just started screaming, because I guess that was my natural reaction. So we jutted down one of the alleys right there, so we didn't have to. I would have felt really awkward walking by him, you know, sadness and just weirdness.
Yeah.
So we went down this alley. And there were all these huge horse flies, like, flying at our face. This is, like, 2 seconds after the Asian experience. And I was like, what the fuck? Why are there so many flies? And then as we're walking down this alley, I realized that there's a huge homemade hobo toilet. Someone took a bunch of cardboard and cut a hole in it, and there was fecal matter everywhere. And the horse flies were flying out of the box. And at our face. So then we just start running. And we just start running. And get to the next street, we think everything's going to be fine, and what I presume is a homeless guy is approaching us as we're going through a crosswalk, and he has his hand in his pocket, and he is pleasuring himself while he's walking. And then we went back to the hotel and didn't leave until the show.
Wow.
2 days later.
Really? Interesting. I guess for me, living, you know, in California for most of my life, actually all of my life, honestly, it's like second nature, unfortunately. But I don't know if that's a good thing, but especially...
No, either.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you... Do you get that in Georgia? I mean, the homeless population is probably...
Well,
not
yeah, it's huge.
Uh-huh.
It's... I have a record store in Savannah, and across the street from my record store is the main homeless shelter in the city. So, like, wow. I deal with those people on a day-to-day basis, and we have a really good relationship. But,
right.
But they don't. It's just a different level of crazy.
Right.
I feel.
Right. Yeah, I guess here maybe we tolerate it more. Like it's kind
it's
of let it go to a level that maybe we shouldn't, but. I don't know.
In some weird way, I actually kind of, in hindsight, uh-huh. I kind of appreciate it.
Oh, really?
Like, I mean, it was disgusting and vile in every single way. I mean, it was sad, you know? A fucking crazy Asian dude on his hands and knees at a bus stop eating spaghetti and meatballs with a fork is not... It's weird, but it's kind of funny and comical, but it's clearly
it
very
is.
Sad because
it is.
Mm-hmm. He's out of his mind.
Definitely.
And then people having to shit in a box is, it's gross because we walked by it, but to think that they had to experience that on a day-to-day basis, it's all very sad in the long run.
Right.
So, anyway, that's all. That's my San Francisco story, and that's all I have. That's all I know about the city.
Well, I'm glad you had such a great experience.
Well, like I said, in hindsight, it was kind of charming in its own right.
Yeah, hopefully next time it'll be slightly more pleasant. But tell us about your band, the Casket Girls, and how you guys got together.
I had been wanting, and actually even years ago when I first started a Facebook account for the recording label, I run the record label as well. So I have a record store, a recording label, a PR company, do all this shit. But
good for you. Very good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with the Shangri-Las and wanted to basically create that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I had made some posts when I first started a Facebook account for the label, like, hey, if anyone knows any girl groups or, you know, any sisters that are... Oh, shit. There's a fucking crazy dog. Ah, I'm walking around a strange neighborhood and there's a dog running at me.
I thought that was your alter ego. I was like, hello, have we met?
sorry about that. I thought a dog was just going to eat my face.
Oh, no. What a nice animal. You're like, no, it's not.
Well, anywho, so because the universe always works out, really, in some way, I was just strolling around in Savannah and basically happened upon these two girls that looked and sounded the part of what I was trying to create and asked if they wanted to work on a project, and they were pretty reluctant, but I sent them some music and they wrote some vocals and stuff to it, and like 2.5 years later, now we're on our second record, so it kind of all panned out.
That's great. And tell us about the new record that's coming out.
Well, it's kind of sad. The musical component, which I do all the music, I was engaged for like 8 years or so, and that ended maybe a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And basically the day that ended, I started writing this record. But by the time I finished writing the record and the girls added their parts and everything, I was in a completely different place mentally and had grown immensely as a human being. So it's not just like a sad breakup record. It's, I don't know, kind of coming full circle as a human being sort of record. So, I don't write the lyrics, so I can't speak for what they were writing about, but I'm pretty sure I got in their minds a bit because I so frequently was talking about the things that I was going through emotionally that it seems to pair incredibly well with what I was actually experiencing. So it's got some fancy stuff and some spooky stuff and some sad stuff, but it's definitely the most accessible thing that I've ever written, for sure. Like, everyone seems to think that people will like it. I don't, God only knows if anyone will listen to it, let alone like it. But
you'd be surprised how many people would say they have something in common with sadness, so to speak. Maybe somebody will find joy out of it. You know what I mean? It's hard to say how people are going to perceive your music, I guess, till you get feedback on it, right?
True. Were you sent an advance copy or anything?
No.
That's sad.
But I want to hear it.
You haven't even heard it.
No, I haven't.
Bummer. Well, I'll talk to Caroline. We should definitely get you one.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. And who are you guys going to be touring with in this upcoming shows that you're going to be playing?
Well, I've always wanted to do a label sort of traveling showcase.
That's very cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
It's kind of an incestuous label in that, you know, I play in six of the bands now, and a couple that I don't play in, I produce their records, and a lot of, you know, members of this band are also in this band, and that sort of thing. So I definitely want to kind of brand it as not Motown, but that sort of label, I guess, where everyone gets along and plays on each other's records, and kind of a family vibe. I hesitate to use that word because it seems like a lot of people use that word when it's not necessary. But anyways, so that's it, it's this really demented, folkier project of mine called Dream Ends will be opening. This amazing shoegaze band called the Stargazer Lilies, Basket Girls, and then on the West Coast, we'll be adding this amazing Irish girl group called Dot. It will be their first time playing America, so that'll be pretty cool.
That's always exciting. Where can people find out more about you online? What's the best site to look at?
I tend to just point people to grayface.com because everything is linked off of there, and a zillion free downloads and all the usual crap that people put out there to try to encourage you to support bands and musicians.
Right, definitely. And you guys are going to be playing March 4th at Bottom of the Hill, meaning Casket Girls, and that Irish group that you just mentioned. That sounds interesting. Have you played?
Yeah, they're really good.
You've never played Bottom of the Hill before, have you?
I've played there like 7 or 8 times personally, but not as Casket Girls.
And what is your perception of the venue? Is there something that you like about it?
I actually really like everything about it. I've never had, I don't think I have a single complaint. I even like the green rooms and everything is pretty spot on. And my only experience, I think, has been in Black Moth Super Rainbow, maybe Dream End played there years ago, actually. But it's always been really good turnouts, and people seem to be super friendly to us. So,
awesome.
So hopefully they'll be very welcoming to Casket Girls, because we're the only Casket Girls shows we've ever played on the West Coast have been opening for The Faint last year.
And
that was kind of Faint is amazing, and I don't know that their fans wanted to hear us. They just, because it was a like an anniversary tour for them. So it was like,
oh, I see.
Come on, you know, we want to see the Saint.
Right, a lot of anticipation. But you know what? I think it's really paid off, especially in my experience. I mean, I work at a radio station, and I get to go to a lot of shows for free, so I really try and support the opening acts, the bands that are not as well known, and you could be really amazed. Like, you don't know what you're going to see. So I think that people really don't take advantage of that, and they should. It's not just about the main acts. You know, you need to open your mind, people.
I mean, when I was first getting into independent music, when I was like 18 or so, I remember that struck a chord for the first time going to see Low and Pedro Laline was opening. I mean, this is forever ago, but in a small place in Detroit, Michigan. And you know, I think Pedro Laline ended up being a fan that I appreciated far more than Low. So it's,
I
was like, oh, the opening band. There's a reason, oftentimes, that there is an opening band and that they're, that it's this opening band. You know, usually it's either friends of the headliner or sometimes it's the label choosing, but yeah, that's, you can definitely learn a lot. So
definitely.
Find your new favorite band. Hopefully people really dig Dot, because I'm pretty excited for, I mean, hopefully people dig everything, quite frankly, but, yeah.
And who would you say are your major influences besides the Shangri-Las?
I don't know. I just like horror movies and serial killers and, Silence. I think Silence is Homemade Absinthe, Silence, David Lynch.
I know his movies. Very interesting.
Anything Motown, I guess, to go back to that.
Motown, I don't know. Motown's pretty timeless, is it not? I mean, it's kind of, most people would say it's stood the test of time, and you can still listen to it now. Like, my coworker plays it in her working environment, and it's still contemporary, right? Like, there's something about it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds better. Sounds better than most contemporary music. Like, the actual sound of the sound sounds better to me than, you know, all this crisp production shit. But they're, you know, recording to tape, and they have people that know what they're doing, and it's generally not recorded in someone's basement, which, you know, conversely speaking, all the Casket Girl stuff is recorded in my basement, so I'm shitting on myself, I think, by saying that. But,
would you ever try and replicate the same kind of recording technique that they used, or?
Well, we kind of, for this new record, I did all the keyboard stuff, all like the structural parts at home, and then we did go to a studio in Athens, Georgia, and we did all the drums to tape just to see if that made a difference, and holy crap, it made a huge difference. So I think for the next record, I would really like to do everything in the studio. It's always a budget concern, of course, so.
Right.
And that's unfortunately why a lot of people don't use them. You know, sessions aren't cheap, and tape isn't cheap, so.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thanks for speaking with me today. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for caring.
Anytime. And just one more quick question. Who are the other members of the band? The Casket?
This tour will be pretty interesting, because we're going to, we've never toured with a bassist before, but since we're all riding together for this Grayface Roadshow, we're going to have the bassist for the Stargazer Lilies play bass for us, and Peter Siba will be our drummer again. He's our touring drummer, and he actually plays on four or five of the songs on the new record, and then Phaedra and Elsa Green are the singers. And my name is Ryan, and I play, I don't know what I'll play on this tour, keyboards and guitar and maybe a noisemaker, I don't know. I haven't even started practicing yet. So.
Whatever you feel is right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It'll be fun regardless.
Again, that's March 4th at Bottom of the Hill?
That sounds right. Quite honestly, I can't remember. But I know 6 is in L.A., so that seems to make sense.
Yep, well, hopefully we will stay in touch, and I'll try and check you guys out when you guys are in town.
Great, thank you so much.
All right, well, have a great holiday, and talk to you later.
You too, take care.
Okay, so bye.
Bye.
Richie, are you still with me?
Yes.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And you made it to the hotel, safe and sound.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing to hear. You're going to be playing in Lincoln, Nebraska tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight.
Tonight, okay.
Tonight we'll be here, yeah.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I don't even, I guess I'm sure I played here at one point in my life, but I forget.
You played a lot of shows with the Ramones.
Yeah.
Been around. But now you are currently touring for your own solo project, is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I have a new album out called Entitled on DC Jam Records, and it's been going really well. So in our fifth week of the tour, we had about 8 shows left.
That's
for
great.
North America, and then we go, you know, overseas.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. What's it like playing in Europe versus playing in the States? Do you like the audience over there, or do you like American?
You know, it's
American.
Totally different, you know. It's I think, you know, even, you know, South America and some of the Latin countries are big Ramones fans, you know. They're big Ramones
right.
fans in best mode. I don't know why, but
oh,
the Latin communities love those two bands. And,
right.
We are, you know, way bigger audiences. And I think just this is a different thing. United States, if you're not on the radio or have a hit, people don't come out like they do, you know, overseas where they come out. Just, you know, to enjoy good rock and roll, you know,
definitely.
Have to be, you know, there's more of a scene still going on.
Right on. And who are the other members in your band currently?
Touring with me now is Alex Kane on lead guitar. You know, he was in LSD and Anti-Product, and I have Claire Mistake from London, England. She's playing bass. Awesome. And Ben Reagan from Los Angeles, he plays drums and rhythm guitar, so I moved to the front a few times during the show so I could kick the kids in the head, you know.
That's always a great thing.
And, yeah, and then he jumps on the drums when I do that.
That always makes it more exciting, you know. And
well, yeah, you know, I felt I just didn't want to be, you know, listen, I'm a drummer, you know, but I just wanted to come out front just to get off the kit once in a while. So
right.
People, you know, can have a little fun up there, you know.
Change it up here and there. And do you know the other bands that are going to be playing with you on March 9th at...
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know them?
No, I don't.
I mean, it becomes a blur. I make them... They have to write the, you know, the opening bands on my set list and stuff like that. I just forget what city I'm in.
Right.
You know, it's night after night. We did like a 13-day in a row run at one point. You know, it's crazy.
Right.
But we're having a blast, so I'm excited. I'm excited to play San Francisco. I really am.
Yeah. That's interesting. And where can people find out more about your solo project online?
Well, richramone.com will tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my Facebook, Rich Ramone Official. There you can go and you see videos from this tour and all kinds of kids posting pictures and stuff. You know, I make it a point to go out after every show within 5-10 minutes. And, you know, I go to the merch table and I take pictures with everybody and greet everybody.
Uh-huh.
And they really like that. You know, I spend like an hour after the show doing that. So
that's crazy.
Everybody gets their photo.